Blog Talk Radio.
Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by The Fitness Buff Show, the leanest, fastest hour on radio. Check it out online at fitnessbuffshow.com and start getting fitter and faster today. George Gray is having way too much fun on his HGTV show, What's With That House? The show, now in its second season, is kind of a goof on the proliferation of shelter TV shows, where viewers are taken into fabulous homes and mansions and led around by announcers in hushed, respectful tones. There's no respect in Gray's tone, and rightfully so. If you haven't seen the show, I absolutely insist you pause this interview and set your DVR, TiVo, or VCR to record the show. It's on HGTV every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern or Pacific. You won't be sorry. Back now? Okay. If Gray seems familiar, it means you probably saw him in ESPN's sports fantasy reality series, I Do Anything, or the syndicated version of The Weakest Link. George, welcome to Mr. Media.
I am so excited to be here. You were talking fitness. I've been doing Kegels the whole time that I've been listening to you.
Well, I hope whoever you're with next appreciates that I gave you the opportunity to do that.
And you used the word proliferation. Which, you know, I mean, you got to slowly ramp up to a word like proliferation, which is nice.
Well, I thought this was kind of a nuclear moment.
Makes me sound way headier than I really am, so glad to be here.
Well, that is quite a head you've got on your shoulders, if you're going to make that reference.
Just the ego.
What color is that hair?
I'm sorry? Well, actually, you know, it's funny because my hair... You achieve that kind of blonde by sticking your head in a bucket of Clorox about every 5 days. And so it's very natural. And but now, actually, now that the show is on hiatus right now, my hair is kind of like, it sort of looks like I got whapped with a carrot. So I seem to go to extremes.
I'm going to ask, what is the natural color of your hair?
When I was doing Weakest Link, that was pretty close, although the lights were so dark in the room, it looked darker than it was. Kind of a dark blonde.
Okay.
I think. Dirty. Blonde, something like that. I don't even know. Who knows? I started growing the soul patch. I did a show called Junkyard Wars before
right.
Weakest Link, and I grew the soul patch that I've now worn for years as a joke. Not a lot of guys were wearing them at the time, not that I was the first to ever do it, but they really weren't in vogue, and... I literally did it as a joke, and I thought it looked so silly and stupid that I just decided to wear it for a couple weeks, then I booked Junkyard Wars and just left it. And so that's been on my face. So I sort of do things, I don't know, just out of sheer stupidity.
Well, I'm going to ask you, this is way off topic, but as a guy who's worn a beard for way too long, how do you trim that thing so it always looks the same? Did you ever slip with the razor or the electric?
You know what, I'm a blonde man. And I don't really pay that much attention to it. My mother hates it. She wishes that I would slip with the razor by accident. It's easy. You know, a beard would drive me nuts. I couldn't do that. I don't know how you do it. You got a really long one, do you?
No. It's not too long. But my wife refuses to let me cut it. She says I look about 10 years old without it. which is, as I'm pushing my way up to 50, that's I guess maybe that might be a good thing. I don't know.
Maybe she's got a Santa Claus fetish. You don't know. I don't know. Maybe she's hoping. Oh, come on, go gray, baby, go gray.
I'll try that little red hat on tonight. So what's this? You got a TV show? I don't remember what we're here for.
TV Schmeedy.
TV
Very nice words, by the way. Thank you for telling everybody that they should tune in to watch. You know, it's definitely a... What's With That House is a guilty pleasure show. It really is slamming on your brakes, what the hell is that kind of show.
It's, you know, it's funny. It was brought to my attention, and for Mr. Media, I really focus on things that I like and I want to share with other people, and this was something that was brought to my attention I was surprised I hadn't heard of it before, and I watched it, and it was just, it's really funny. It's, and you know, we watch so many reality type shows or home shows or cooking shows, and this was just so left of center. It's a fun show. People really should give it a try.
Left of, are you saying it's a Democratic show?
I don't know if it's a blue state, red state show. I don't know. You know.
I caught it on a strict libertarian ship there on the show.
Well, you know, it's funny. One of the moments in watching the show that made me literally laugh out loud, and now I'm going to repeat it, and maybe it won't be that funny. Maybe you can put it in context. But you had just told a couple and looked at the camera. You said, "Thank you for showing me your toilet." And
that sounds like something classy that I'd say.
Do you remember that in particular?
Because no, you know what, I don't. And it's actually, it's really funny. If you could get to see me in the voiceover booth, which for anybody that doesn't know, you shoot a show, the editors cut the show, the network approves the show, then they write a script of the show, which is kind of a backwards way to do it, and then you go into a booth and you say words that they lay in on top of the show to kind of fill in all the slots. And when I go to voiceover stuff, I don't have a script for What's With That House. So I just say whatever I want. I just say whatever comes to my mind. And they only use a portion of it. And a lot of the stuff I say isn't for air. I just say it to amuse myself or the editors or the homeowners or whoever. So everything's, you know, from silly to risque to whatever just pops out of my mouth. And sometimes I'll say something and I would swear it's somebody else that said it, and it'll make me laugh. I'm like, wow, that was funny. So it actually surprises me.
I wondered how much might be scripted before or after and how much is not.
Zero.
Wow. Well, and do you spend any time with the homeowner before taping begins, or is that mostly a production issue?
The only thing that I do is I, you know, show up and say hello, introduce myself. I usually walk in the house and yell, "Hi, honey, I'm home." But, you know, I say hi, tell them to relax, that it's going to be fun, that I have no script, that there's no rules. You know, a lot of people aren't very savvy with TV. They get that whole deer in the headlights, Richard Nixon during the Kennedy debate look on their face, you know, and it's not pleasant. It's really kind of, it's really, you know, beads of sweat and big eyes. And I just say, look, this is, you know, everything's going to be fine. So get everybody comfortable, and then we just roll, and that's it. Mm. So it's very, very natural, and just whatever comes out of it. Because I think I personally hate fake reality TV, and there's so much of it these days. It's just one of those things, and you know, you watch those shows where you just know that they're reading from a script. Mm. It's just, I mean, haven't you ever seen that, Bob, like, you know, some MTV show? "Hi, my name's Dan, and I'm here to rock it because I'm from Detroit." It's like, oh, wow, they just told you to say that.
Well, when you see that some of the reality shows, you check the credits if you look, and you see the, you know, the writers, and you think, well, okay, yeah, that explains a lot.
Exactly. Well, I just think reality TV should be reality, which is just let it go. Let's see what happens. Fly without a net, and it's really fun. So, yeah, you know, what's with that house, the premise behind it is it's all those houses all across the country where you slam on the brakes and wonder what the homeowner was smoking. And we've all seen those houses. Every single person in every single state, city, and small town has one of those houses near them, and they know which one it is. And it's probably nicknamed, like the Mushroom House or the, you know, the Witch's Hat House because of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And so many people would just love to tour those houses, and we finally get to. So that's why the show's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have one that went up about a block from us that they refer to it as the Italian prison. It's you know, it's a neighborhood of nice houses, not, you know, not, but nice houses, and then this house goes up that eats up the entire piece of property, and it is two stories tall. It is one big rectangle. Flat walls. Every window is the exact same tiny size, and so when I saw the show, I immediately thought of that, and I could equate to it completely. And you're right. I mean, I think one of the episodes I saw, you were in Oakland Park, Florida,
mm-hmm.
And you know, there every neighborhood seems like has one of these most bizarre, curious houses.
And that's great that you've nicknamed it the Italian prison. And I guarantee there'll be like five or six names out there that people have for it. They're, each one's funnier than the last one. And it really polarizes everybody in these neighborhoods. I guarantee if I went through the neighborhood, which we do, and we say, hey, you know, excuse me, Bob, you know, you live on the street. What do you think of that place? And what do you call it? And you'd say, I call it the Italian prison. I think it's ugly. We'll talk to another neighbor. You know, my name is Dieter. I think it is a beautiful postmodernism statement about architecture. And they'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hysterical that you get some people that just absolutely think that whatever this house is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and some people think it's just moldy.
Do you have any great moments with neighbors that, you know, you really loved what they said but you couldn't possibly use?
Well, HGTV is definitely a more family values conservative type of network. And so it's a little on the squeakier, cleaner side, but I was very impressed with them that they did air something one time that was very, 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 very funny. We went to this house and saw all the neighbors, and all the neighbors, the problem is when neighbors live close by, they're probably friends with the people, so they don't want to say anything bad about the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was asking the neighbors, what do you think of this house? Oh, it's fine. Everybody's saying it's fine. I said, well, come on, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Is it, you know, what do you think? You know, oh, it's fine. And finally, I asked some guy who happened to live about six blocks away, and he didn't know the people. And I said, "Can I ask you on camera, you know, what you think about the house?" And he said, "Sure." So I said, "So tell me, you know, what do you think of the house?" And he just said, "I didn't even finish the sentence." He said, "It looks like crap." And I started laughing because it was so funny the way he said it. And he wasn't being angry; he was just being very honest. And I said, no, really, I mean, just, you know, what do you think? And he just, again, cut me off and repeated it, and it just made me laugh so hard. It was so funny to just see that kind of honesty, and they actually aired it, so it was great.
Well, now, you say that HGTV is, you know, kind of conservative. Of course, they do air the show 11:30 at night, so and the humor on the show would fit in prime time on any network, but yeah, I can see that might be a little offbeat for them.
Well, let's just say, yeah, they we caused a bit of a stir when we first joined ranks with them. But they knew who I was, and they were happy to have me aboard. But they said they wanted to try something a little crazy, a little edgier, a little more fun. You know, not so much khaki. Actually, HGTV has been really, really great to me. There's a woman named Beth Burke who's, you know, at every network there's always kind of some network suit goon that oversees the show, and she's the network goon, and she's just been our biggest savior. You know, she fights for us to get away with all sorts of stuff. You know, we'll try to slip in these jokes in editing, and, you know, she will roll her eyes and then go try to talk to the powers that be. So, but yes, they originally they like to run me a little more late night because I think they see me as like the Dave Chappelle of HGTV. And Senator, I know Dave Chappelle, and you know Dave Chappelle.
you're just going to head that one off right by yourself, huh?
Exactly. I mean, very flattering that they think that, but not even close.
Have you gotten any feedback from any of the other HGTV hosts? Do any of them have a problem with this being there?
With HGTV? No, as a matter of fact, when I get to see the other hosts, they always say, man, you get away with murder. You know, they don't even let me, you know, and then they, you know, say, I can't even say, hey, what's going on? And you get to do this and this and this. So, you know, it's always a fun complaint I guess I'm the naughty child that they just sort of let be bad.
Mm. How does a house get on the show?
I think mostly bribery or threats.
Aha.
But barring that, there's a very a crack production team out here in Los Angeles, and they scour the country. It's everything from looking in news stories and clippings for crazy houses that have been, you know, covered in the local newspaper, to people, once we got on the air and got popular, people sending an email through HGTV saying, hey, I got a weird house in my neighborhood. We actually had one guy, because I didn't get to go to every, I don't get to go to every house that we show. I go to most of them. I go to about 80% of the homes. But sometimes we're shooting two at the same time. I just can't be in two places at one time. And really super nice guy. It was a modern type of home in a very kind of traditional home area. And they he sent in his stuff. Huge fan of the show. Huge fan of HGTV. They said, great, we're going to do your house. They set it up, and they said, well, we're not sure if George can could come to your house. And that was a deal breaker. I was very, very flattered. He said, I won't do the show unless George can make it to my house.
Yes, I want to be insulted in person. I don't want to be insulted long range.
He was just the nicest guy. And it really made me feel good. You know, because you get out there and you work, and, you know, you don't get to, you don't get in touch with a lot of people that are watching your show. And so it was neat to have him say, no, no, you know, I really love the show and wanted you to be here. And we had a great time.
Had
a great time. So as the show's become a lot more known and been on for a while, you know, people, when I show up to their house, it's like seeing an old friend. So that's really nice.
Have you had any problems with any homeowners who didn't quite get you and maybe you couldn't even use the tape?
There's been a couple of times when I'm probably more liquored up than I should be and I get a little touchy-feely. But, you know, no. No, actually, I think when we, before we had ever aired, which would have been maybe a year and a half ago, you know, we were shooting the beginning of the series, but people didn't have anything to relate to it. And, but, you know, I really took the time, I think, to tell people what it is. Kind of what I always would say to the homeowners. And now people watch it. You know, if they know I'm coming to their house, they always, you know, TiVo it, even if they've never seen the series, and watch it for 5 minutes to get the general vibe of it. But, you know, I would always say, look, the show is fun and funny, but it's not insulting. It's never about making fun of you or your house. That's not the point of the show, and it never will be. So it's about having fun, not making fun. And, I really wanted to always stress that. And I think once you say that to somebody, then you're okay. Because even when I did Weakest Link, I never wanted to be the guy. I always thought that when Ann Robinson did Weakest Link, that she would just go for people's jugular and, like, shoot out their kneecaps for no reason. Whereas I sort of saw it as, like, these are all my children, and I love my children. So when your children get out of line, you thunk them on the head. But you don't really ultimately want to hurt your children. But sometimes you got to smack them on the ass pretty hard. And I think, you know, you look at it that way. When your friend slips on a banana peel, you're going to laugh and point, but you don't want your friend to be hurt, and you will dust them off and help them up. And so that's the way I, you know, approach Weakest Link. And I think with What's With That House, I always decided, you know what, I want to have fun but not make fun. And, I mean, come on. If you live in a house, you know, that's covered with shag carpeting, you know, including the exterior of it, you can't be taking yourself too seriously.
Now, I wanted you to finish that, but there was an episode, if we can call it an episode, where you're talking to a guy who has signs all over his house, and he's just shown you the stop sign that he stole from a busy intersection, and then he was bragging about the quality of his compost. And while he's doing that, you turned to the camera, rolled your index finger by the side of your head, which of course is the international symbol for cuckoo.
Crazy.
Cuckoo. So let's not be too benign about this.
Well, you know what though, in that kind of instance, if I thought the person was really crazy, I would have never done that.
Oh, okay.
So if I know he's just kind of a goofy guy that I'm having a good time with, you know the deal. If you're next to one of your friends who's being a goofball, you would absolutely do that.
Right.
If you're next to somebody who you think has a mental disorder, you probably would find that pretty insulting.
That would be true.
So, you know, you always gauge your audience.
Now,
it's important. And definitely, some of the homeowners are a little more serious than the others. But, you know, everybody really enjoys living in their homes and has fun with them. And they understand what the show is about. It's about enjoying the diversity of weird homes.
there was another one I liked. I think the family had a castle, and the parents were just so proud. And then you ask the teenage boy about it, if it was, you know, if he was really proud about it, if it was, and you know, he was like, no, not happy to be living here at all.
which you know, it's so funny that you would think that a 13 or 14 year old kid would hate to live in a normal house but be thrilled to live in a castle. But the true axiom of the world is 14-year-olds hate everything.
True.
And that's just the way it works. So you get to see that if you're talking to a 14-year-old, they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing is put out some food, some water, and a video game, and leave them alone until they're about 19.
Now, Mr. Gray, I understand there's a call for you. Department of Children and Family is calling in. A little concerned about some of your child rearing techniques.
Yeah, I get nervous anytime I'm called Mr. Gray. I'm generally in court.
Now I've told you a couple of episodes that I've really liked. Do you have some favorites of your own, either the homes or the homeowners?
Oh gosh, you know there's so many. I've probably been to almost a couple hundred houses.
Wow.
And this. Each one, there's something great about it. There really has never been a house where I haven't found some little gem. One of my favorites is a woman in Austin who, her first name escapes me right now, and just the sweetest, sweetest woman, who a fairly well-known and very respected local artist, and Austin is a very funky place to live if anybody's either from Austin right now or ever been there. It's definitely eclectic.
Mm.
And she had a normal house. It was probably a home built in the late 20s, maybe early 30s. She put art on every single square inch of her house. Every single square inch. And she was very good at it. She did a lot of Day of the Dead kind of stuff. A lot of heavy, heavy, thick oils and paints. But she would paint something and then drape something on top of that and drape something on top of that. And when you went through her whole house, she actually, you opened her oven and her oven was like a diorama. It had art in the oven. Every square inch of her home was art, including her toilet seat, everything. And she was just the neatest, craziest person I've ever met. And I had such a great time with her. And then there's a house that I went to that was made by a guy in the 60s as a UFO, and it actually had a dropping drawbridge that you walked up into. The home itself was pretty much, if a UFO was going to land, this is what it would look like. It would, you know, the home was, I guess, what, 12 feet off the ground, you know, on three stilts that stuck out like, you know, the 1950s kind of saucer, and you walked up into it, and it was a freaking flying saucer. Except it was a flying saucer built in like 1969, 1970. So they had shag carpet. They were pimping space aliens. It was great. So, those are just fun. There was one in Arizona near Bisbee, which I have a house in Bisbee. I love Bisbee. Great, great town. They had actually blasted with mining caps a 3,000-square-foot home completely into the mountainside.
Wow.
Like, when you looked at the face of their home, it looked like this tiny little shack. Well, that was actually their front porch. It was about a 10-foot front porch. And you think, oh, wow, it's this tiny little shack sitting here. 3,000 square feet, which is huge, straight into the mountain. I mean, gorgeous, absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous home. So neat, so weird.
Wow. I don't know. You really are exposed to so many things. You think maybe you've seen it all, but especially I'm in Florida. I was pretty sure I'd seen it all until I've seen some of the shows, some of the houses that you've been to on the show.
Right.
You mentioned when we started talking about doing the voiceovers, going to the studio after the episode's been taped and doing the voiceovers.
Sure.
The other thing that's really interesting about the show is the use of the pop-ups that would very similar to I was trying to remember what it was called. VH1 used to have the show that started doing this, pop-up video, I think it
was. Right, pop-up video, sure.
Pop-up video. And these, they have, when you read them, I can actually hear George Gray in my head. Although I was wondering, do you contribute to those, or are those done by the production staff?
Those actually are not me, and a lot of times I think they're generated through the editors. Mm. There's a woman named Karen, a guy named Aaron. Basically, anybody that has a rhyming name gets a job there automatically. And they'll come up with funny little bits. They're great. I think some of it might stem from something I've said that they can't use. Some of it's just something that they think is really goofy, you know? That just everybody that works on the show and around the show has a great, great sense of humor. And so, yeah, I love some of those. They're not really pop-ups so much as like an arrow will come flying in or something.
Right,
and,
right.
They make me laugh because I've never seen them, and I think it's really funny what they're able to do with them. It just adds an extra little tidbit of information or something, you know?
There was a piece, I guess a family had made, I don't know if it was The Wall or if it was a piece of art that had the bottoms of wine bottles. And the wife was saying that her husband actually had to drink all the wine, poor guy, to get to the point where they could cut off the bottoms.
Uh-huh.
And then the pop-up was, or the arrows were, pointing out what each brand of bottle was. You know, it's that extra little detail. It's like, you know, the old Spy magazine, the stuff in the margins. And
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It shows somebody's putting a little extra effort in.
Yeah, I've been having a great time with the show. Really, it's really a hoot. It really is. And we've got a Christmas special that's going to be just tons and tons of fun to get to see some, you know, all the homes, including some in Florida, where people just, you know, if you put up one strand of lights, that must be great. So then 10,000 strands of lights must be better.
I think I know the house you're talking about, actually. There's one in my mother-in-law's old neighborhood that drew thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I think that they moved some of their lights to Disney, but then they started all over again.
Wow.
So, listen, George, before I let you go, if we were invited into your home, what would we see, and what would embarrass you?
Well, I generally, I have the Matthew McConaughey clothes are for suckers kind of rule, so that would be a little awkward to begin with. you know what? My house actually was featured on What's With That House. We did a really funny tongue-in-cheek bit where I was up in, because I live in the Hollywood Hills, you know, hey, I'm up in the Hollywood Hills, and look at all these funky cars around this house, and somebody's working on the car. Nobody works on their cars in the Hollywood Hills. And I walk up, and the guy from under the hood pops up, and it's me. And we did an old, like they did in Bewitched, the old split screen.
Right.
We had somebody double me, a friend of mine double me from the back, and then when we were face to face, it's all split screen. And it actually came out really, 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 really good and funny. And so I interview myself, and the host on HGTV, he's a little too dorky, you know, little too eager puppy, and a little too obnoxious. And then the celebrity George Gray from Junkyard Warriors Weakest Link et al. Is, you know, a D-lister sliding to the F scale that thinks he's way more important than he really is, and just, you know, kind of a egotistical idiot. So I played those two different characters and walked through the house. But I have a bar called Stinky's Bar and Cigar Lounge. So we actually got to do some funny bits in Stinky's, which is kind of everything's 1930s, 1940s, 50s. I have vintage pinball machines and slot machines and Coke machines and old Rat Pack pictures, and just tons of fun. So we had a blast doing that one. So if you walked into my house, you'd get an eyeful.
And what did your neighbors say?
Actually, it's great because I interviewed my neighbors as if I was asking about what's it like to live next to, you know, that George Gray, the other George Gray. And it was great. They played along fabulously. My one neighbor, Joy, I said, what's it like living next to, a television, big television star like George Gray? And she said, he has a job? I just thought he sat around all day. I didn't know he did anything. So she was very funny, making fun of me. And then my next-door neighbor, John, also made fun of me, so it was great. It was it was a lot of fun getting to take the piss out of myself. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Now, people can go to the HGTV website and look up What's With That House, and it lists the episodes by the nicknames of the house. So how would we find your house on the list?
Ooh, that's a good question. Does it list every episode?
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
Got to go to your website, George. Come on.
That's amazing. well, you can go to georgegray.com, and you can see what Stinky's looks like, but
don't even
have the episode in it. That's just my personal website. So you can catch a view of Stinky's. But, yeah, to see that bit, it might say Stinky's Bar and Cigar Lounge. It might say George Gray's house. It's probably one or the other.
Okay, so you didn't there wasn't a particular nickname. Okay.
I would go with that because that's the bar is named after my 17-pound cat.
All right. Well, and look, I got in a plug for the website there, too. So there we go. George, thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media. It's been a lot of fun.
I've had a blast, Bob. I really have. And you got yourself a great show. And keep spreading the word.
All right. Well, and on that note, remember, What's With That House is broadcast every Wednesday on HGTV at 11:30 p.m. Eastern or Pacific. And, folks, if you'd like to keep up with Mr. Media's Friday interviews, you can subscribe to the site via email at www.mrmedia.com. You can also subscribe to the audio feed in the podcast section of iTunes. Thanks for joining us. Please come back next week for another Fridays with Mr. Media.